Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. It is Monday, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about, including the Memphis Grizzlies and Ja Morant, in this case, making headlines for the wrong reasons. Woke up on Saturday morning to certainly disappointing news. The Instagram Live Ja had posted in which he flashed a gun. Much has happened since, including the Grizzlies losing a second straight game last night without Ja Morant. They lose it to the Clippers. We'll get into what all it means. Nike has spoken. Others have spoken and said things along the same lines, and the same sort of advice we had given Ja previously, just as recently as when the Washington Post story came out about the summer incidents last week. And so we will discuss what needs to happen now. Taylor Jenkins certainly spoke on it yesterday, said a lot of layers to this, and we'll get through that, what it means for the Grizzlies in the right now and in the future. As for the Memphis Tigers, every time it feels like with Houston, well, I can think of one, Tremont Mark hitting that shot a couple years ago. It was like that. Jamal Shedd last night or yesterday hits a shot with guys draped all over him. Houston wins 67-65. It felt like it was right there for the taking, the program's first win over the number one ranked team in the country. It does not happen. Heartbreaking, yet with my man John Martin in the midst of it, did feel like it was a throwback. John, at least by the way it looked on television, a throwback to the days of yore when that place was full and rocking and full of an incredible energy. Was it not that, it was, in terms of being in it?
It was a privilege to be in that crowd.
Well, that's a heck of a way to put
it. And you can sort of hear that my voice is kind of coming in and out because I was in it, man. I was into it. I was part of the crowd. It was a vintage Memphis basketball crowd, man. It was so loud. It was so passionate. Mm-hmm. It was so electrifying. And unfortunately, you don't get the result there at the end with the game winner, the buzzer beater. Not even just a game winner. I mean, it's a buzzer beater. There's zeros left on the clock after that shot. But it was the kind of performance that, you know, I think embodied, you know, when you tell, like when Riley is old enough, you know, that's the crowd that I will tell her about. That's the Memphis basketball I will tell her about. Like, that is what it is and can still be in the right setting. Nationally televised game. It sounded amazing. I mean, it was packed to the gills. It was an awesome day. Awesome day, other than, unfortunately, the L. But a lot to get to today, as you mentioned. A national story now. Ja Morant not with the Memphis Grizzlies. Going to miss at least another game, but all the information that, you know, it's going to be more than that. It's going to be more than that. There is no timetable for his return to the organization. So we'll get into that, everything that happened over the weekend. There was not a lot of positivity, unfortunately. I mean, the Grizzlies lost even after a 51-point third quarter, couldn't get it done there in the fourth. Tigers couldn't get the win. I will tell you, though, there was one really beautiful moment from the weekend that I at least witnessed for myself, and that was at halftime of Memphis and Houston. And I don't think it was on TV, but it was one of those halftimes where people did not leave their seats, and the 72-73 team was honored. Mm-hmm. And you had families of players who are no longer with us. You had the players who are still with us. You had managers. You know, the Bartow family was there, and our 125 guest, Vicky Finch, and her family were there. And, you know, look, it's even if you're not from here, the cultural impact that team had, not just on the University of Memphis, but the city. Mm-hmm. You know, it was profound, and it still felt, and it was very emotional, even for me. You know, I was not even close to being born, but I'm certainly a student of history here, and I understand what that team meant. And so it was a really, really well done, presentation by the University of Memphis, and it was touching to see everybody back. You know, everybody back lined up at half court.
50 years later.
50 years later. So that was one thing from the weekend that I thought was beautiful. The rest of it, not as much, but we will talk about it. Jason Fitz going to join us at 11:25 or so. Talk to him about Ja Morant, the Grizzlies, his thoughts on the situation. And then Vicky Finch, as we said, in studio, I believe.
Oh, that'd be over the phone.
Okay, over the phone, gotcha. Yes. Over the phone at 1:25. So we'll talk to her just about the weekend and everything like that. You know, we'd like to catch up with Vicky once a year, so at least. So we're going to definitely check that off the list. That's the show today, Respect Burgers, at 1 o'clock. But I think the place to start is the story revolving around Ja Morant, the franchise player for the University of Memphis. We spent a lot of time, the Memphis Grizzlies, we spent a lot of time talking about last week his shoe launch. You know, his shoes are you know, they just dropped in the sneakers app last week. And it's just sort of you conflate that with the news and what happened over the weekend, which for anybody that has not seen it, Ja Morant was on Instagram Live in what appeared to be a club or a house or whatever. There's a gun. He has a gun. And there are some scantily clad women in the background. And NBA promptly investigated it. Now Ja Morant is away from the team. And as others have mentioned, heavily sort of wording around seeking help and getting better. You know, Jalen Rose has said some things, and look, we sort of did this, right? Like we sort of have already done this segment about Ja Morant. You know, after the news came out, you know, whenever that was, the first report about the incident at his house. And then, of course, it came back in last week with the Washington Post adding to the, you know, the report at Wolf Chase Mall. And then, of course, this story. So I don't know that in terms of what there is to say, how much different it's going to be, except maybe now is it last stop type thing? You know, is that sort of where we are? I mean, I think that's kind of the question.
Well, it's obvious because we were just here, to your point, last week. But this is the difference, John. We were able to point to those incidents and say, well, this happened in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Hopefully there's been change, right? Hopefully someone's already gotten through to Ja, and that change is already starting. Then you wake up on Saturday morning,
yep,
and you see a guy who's been accused of at least having a gun in his waistline by a 17-year-old who's got a civil suit against him, a guy who's had the league investigate an alleged gun incident by the Indiana Pacers. Flash a gun! Complete tone deafness. Like, what are we talking about here? So it was, this can't just be, well, last week we said, well, these aren't recent. If anything recent happens, then it's news. Then we see the video and we say, well, there's the video, and yeah, just went on about the, no, here it is. This shows you that, no, this is a pattern now. And no, the growth that we had hoped was already happening, right? You're at zero. You got to start from now based on this. Is because it was complete stupidity on the part of Ja Morant to go on Instagram Live after a loss. Set the loss stuff to the side, the fact you're doing this after a loss, but yeah, the fact that you've been accused of gunplay, playing with guns, essentially. Mm-hmm. The last couple of weeks it's come back out. And, John, the Washington Post came out on the same day the Powerade thing, the right. Powerade campaign
right.
starts off. The last thing you should do is be anywhere near one, and certainly not bringing it on your own. And here's the thing. This wasn't somebody taking a picture of him mm-hmm. with a gun, right? This mm-hmm. was Ja Morant doing it to himself.
On Instagram Live.
So you wake up and you see it and you go, it's almost like, holy, with everything we've seen, John, with the AI stuff, you're almost like, is there a way this is fake? This has got to be fake. There's no way he went and did this. This goes beyond a mistake of a 23-year-old. This is stupidity when you've got what's circling him right now. And no, you find out it's real. And clearly it makes you wonder, because it's such a stupid move, it makes you wonder what else was involved. You've seen the sort of the language they've used. We've seen Ja taking tequila shots. Heck, we celebrated it at one point, remember, on the way to the All-Star game, whatever else. When you're making decisions like that, that just go against the grain of common sense, you'd think there are other factors involved. I don't accuse Ja of anything here, but clearly, because this is where I come in. And listen, I was doing it at an age much, much, much later than 23, where that alcohol will make you do that stupid stuff. And so back to your point, John, about why this is different, and it can't just be the same conversation that we've had in terms of, well, John needs to realize and tighten up, is because you're dealing with a pattern here now, and a guy who simply doesn't understand, at least right now, what's at stake, what he's got to lose. And I thought you touched on this, but Jalen Rose, in terms of, I was Ja, and I had to grow and figure out at a time, I'm getting things and realizing, well, I'm also a leader of my family and everything else, but man, I'm young too, and I will say this, the lifestyle that Ja seems to want to put out in terms of perception and how people right now doesn't seem like the, clearly, and Shannon Sharpe spoke on, doesn't seem like the way he came up. That's what added a layer of what feels like silliness to this. That ain't even you. You know what I'm saying? Ja didn't come up on street corners, gang banging, from everything we can tell. Man came up great two-parent family. Everything else was trained to go to be a basketball player, as he's got tattooed on his arm. Like, this ain't even you. And so, man, at some point, the kid gloves have got to come off when you're talking about as an organization or the people that are talking to Ja. And now it has to be shake him, right?
Yeah.
Shake him back to some common sense before, here's key, he makes a mistake that he can't overcome or come back from. Because that's the thing here.
Yeah.
You got a young guy that's made some mistakes. He hadn't hurt anybody to this point, right? Mm-hmm. And you can come back from all of this, but clearly it has to be a different conversation now in terms of, just hope for change. And Ja is saying, he needs to seek help in terms of dealing with this stuff. And I hope that's the truth. But here's my issue is like, it was much later in life, like I said, where I had the sort of obedience or the in terms of to myself to realize. For me, this is my walk. I'm not saying this is Ja.
Yeah.
Where I alcohol made me do silly stuff, so I had to stop. I didn't figure that out till later.
Yeah.
And when you were in that 23, right? That is so young to tell yourself, well, I've got an issue with this, or it's a problem for me. And so we can say he's got to grow right now, but I'm telling you right now, it takes a ton to be able to change right that early in life, in the kind of way that it feels like Ja needs changing.
Well, and look, all of this is sort of, veiled language. We're sort of deducing what's really happening and what really is the root of the issue. Which we know Ja, as you mentioned, like Ja is not ashamed to and has not been afraid to say like he does get after it, right? Like you mentioned that plane.
We were celebrating it. What are we talking about here? We said, you guys of age, you can drink, go, have your fun.
The one thing as it relates to Ja Morant that I can't do. I can't give advice, and I'm not going to give advice because I'm not in a position to understand at all what it's like to go from being a working class family in South Carolina to being non-recruited to blowing up and becoming worth $500 million in the span of 4 to 5 years. I can't relate to that, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I can, and that my words what would or should mean anything to him in terms of what he should and should not do. Obviously, the gun thing is, it's obvious that he shouldn't be anywhere near them. That goes without saying. But what I can do is I can shed some light on if we are talking about a substance abuse problem, if this is alcohol related and that these are influencing the decisions that he makes. Ja getting better is only going to happen if he takes ownership of it himself, not because he's being told to do it, mm-hmm. not because his family or the Grizzlies are saying, "Hey, man, or Nike saying, "Hey, you got to go to this place, you got to go to that place, you got to," right. No. Because, brother, I've lived that. I have lived through multiple Salvation Army graduations. I've spoken at them. I have lived through West Memphis missions. Mm. I have run the gamut on recovery programs, right? Time and time again. And the only times that they stick and that they work are when the person involved truly believes and wants to get better. It's the only time. It's not going to be when, your family says, "Hey, man, you got to do this or else X, Y, and Z." It's not going to work. It's not going to stick. It's got to be something that Ja realizes for himself, right? Mm-hmm. This is what we're dealing with. He's got to do, and that there's no other alternative, that whether it's for him, whether it's for his daughter, whatever the case may be. But it's only going to be a permanent fixture when Ja, if and when Ja takes ownership of that himself. And we have no way of knowing that. Like, we don't know if this is a situation that Ja, he put out an apologetic statement. Yeah. The statement itself took some accountability, right, which was great to see. But we know how these things work, too. If in 4 months we're in the same place, and again, I've lived it. I know how hard it is. It's hard. And by the way, you're talking about a guy that's worth $230 million plus, $500 million when you take in the Nike deal, the contract, the Powerade deal. Like, how you going to tell that man anything? He determines when and where he will be, So I can't even imagine. Like, we couldn't even break through with my dad. My dad had nothing. My dad had absolutely nothing. He was homeless. And he still, he still didn't get right until he made that determination. So, again, I'm not going to give advice, but I just think that's what this comes down to is real ownership, not the antiseptic, clean cut statement that was worded by an attorney, but something that Ja really believes himself needs to happen. And I pray because they do. It's a great family. They're awesome people. They've been great Memphians, and Ja has been a terrific ambassador to this point for the city of Memphis. But there's no question that something's got to change.
Well, let's just consider another avenue of this too, if it's because the NBA is investigating.
Sure.
If you are found to have brought a gun on a team play, there can be some severe,
absolutely,
in terms of punishments for that, in terms of suspension, anything else. There's some CBA language about bringing a gun to team facilities, team flights, where you get into some, double-digit suspension talk. And so, John, more so than you or I saying it, or more so than Jalen Rose telling him that, if this comes down, right, and you're looking at a long-term suspension for the Grizzlies, then clearly it has to stop now. It can't just be about, well, Ja's got to be, he's got to reach an age where he's mature enough to want to grow and listen, because those are all true things. But if this changes this season in any way, mm-hmm. in terms of a long-term suspension, he's missing the playoffs, then you can change everything in terms of, again, we've talked about mistakes that you can overcome individually with what you've accumulated with the Nike deal that they stepped up to support you, Powerade, everything else. But if these decisions get to a point, again, we don't know that the gun was his, we don't know that it was on the team plane, but you got to consider that this was on a road trip. The NBA is investigating, and again, if it comes down where he's suspended for a significant amount of time, throws the entire season into disarray, more so it is. Oh, by the way, you lost Brandon Clark over the weekend for the season due to an Achilles. Then as a franchise, you have to grab hold of this and say, okay, these mistakes aren't just costing you in terms of potentially, it's costing all of us. And so, because then you're getting into some territory where, right, people going forward, Ja Morant, you think he had a microscope on him already when he's dropping the gun in the Instagram Live. Like, if you get one of these cases on you and they find out you were immature enough, stupid enough, whatever your word is, to bring a gun on a team plane, and it comes back to cost you a season in terms of how competitive you could have been.
Yep.
There is no, you don't need the speeches
yep.
about, oh, you need to change, and oh, you go into self-help and all that. It's got to stop now.
Yeah.
or else you're going into...
Well, I mean, that is another angle of this.
Completely. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can talk about John and the self-help right. he needs and how we all made mistakes as young folks, but when you do this in a professional organization now, and you've got the NBA coming in for a second time to investigate a gun incident...
Yeah.
This could get we could be talking about this through a much different frame here in a couple of days.
Well, my sense is someone's going to cop to that, not named John Morant, right? I mean, that's the way that this typically would work. Like, whoever he was with is going to, whether it's right or wrong, they're going to say it was his. You know, it's like Chris Carter always said, you got to have a fall guy. So again, I don't know whose it was, but I assume that's the way that this is going to go. But look, I feel like this
But because you've got the previous incident.
Oh, yeah. No, you're there.
They won't be as inclined to say, you know what? Yeah, you know, we're going to believe you guys on this.
Right.
Or we looked at the video. We didn't see anything either.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
They're going to dig a little bit deeper now.
For sure.
So you better hope you got that guy.
No, it's 100%
right. And
that
they can't find that this gun was on a plane or, you know. Team facility in this case doesn't mean you're talking about a road trip. So it's the plane that's key.
Yep. Yeah, it's a story that I have a hard time, and I think most people have a hard time comprehending, because on the surface, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. It just doesn't. I mean, because what Jai's doing, and I saw this, like, Darren Bates has a podcast, Raw Room, and he had a bunch of former, he had A.J. Brown on there. And they were talking about this before. I said, bro, it's like, all the guys who are in the trenches want to be where you're at. But for whatever reason, you want to be in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
The math doesn't really add up to me. So I can't understand it. He's reached a level of success that you feel like would, you know, you would want to, you know, I don't know. Again, I just can't understand the thinking behind it, the desire to project an image that nobody believes anyway. I don't understand it. I can't understand it. But all we have right now is that John Morant has taken the steps to be accountable and to seek help. And he said as much. And so my prayer is that he finds it, because we need him. You know, and this is bigger than basketball at this point. I mean, we're talking about, you know, this guy has fair or not, like, he has an obligation to the city that he represents, you know, and we've been through a lot. We've been through a lot. And, you know, look, for a long, long time, he was and still can be, again, such a bright light for this community, but not like this.
Yeah, for us and for his daughter, for his family, that's the other part about it. Like, you don't want to go down a road where you've lost everything that you... The reason he goes so hard all that is that how much of a family guy he is, right? Taking care of his folks. Part of the reason, it's the DNA of Ja that he goes the way he does, and it's driven him to where he's at. But like I said, it really was at a point in my life where... When I started thinking about my son and the example I've got to be for him, that I said, you know what? Yeah, I can't keep going down that road. And so, again, you're talking about for us, for the Grizzlies, for Memphis.
Yeah.
You know, for anybody who's had a dream coming out of wherever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he represents a ton to them. But again, just for your own, think about your family's sake in this instance.
Yep.
Your beautiful daughter that, you know, thinks the world of you so much so she's doing every dance you do. She copies every move you make.
Right.
You don't want to be an example, a bad example of her, of something to follow. Again, and that's something that helped crystallize things for me. I think when you have kids, that's another level of maturity.
Absolutely.
That you reach. And because he's had them at his age, again, you can... You're right. I mean, he represents so much for all of us in terms of what he could be and how far up that star could go. But all he has to do is look down at his beautiful little daughter and think about, you know, this is not the image I want to portray.
Yep.
Again, back to your point, why portray an image of hard
to what end? What's the game in that?
Portray an image of blessed, like you have in some cases,
and
have that. That's the more positive image that, frankly, is the cooler one, and the one that
it is.
The one that's going to have, you know, I think that can do the most good.
Yeah.
You know,
and for
your family and for all.
There's not like some credit system where, like, oh, man, John Morant's like the hardest player in the game. Like, You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's well. That to me goes yeah.
Like there's no, you don't get anything out of that except honestly.
You didn't come up like that, so I don't even see why. What?
Right.
Why you think you're gonna inherit that now? The only NBA's gonna think you're the hardest player in the league.
Yeah, like for and what does that get you? Right. I mean that
zero.
Probably, that gets you issues. That gets you issues, man. And I would also add really quickly, because he's taking some heat, and I just don't really know how fair it is. Like, who is anybody to tell T. Morant how he should or should not handle this situation? He has done a great job. I mean, he was with Ja as a young man, preparing him, coaching him, getting him ready to play basketball. And then, oh, by the way, in 2, 3, 4 years, he goes from being this kid that nobody knew at all and got offered because of a Dorito, a coach wanted a Dorito, to now he's one of the most valuable players in the NBA. There is no manual or handbook for parenting. And I am, far be it from me to sit here and as a parent myself act like I would know how to handle that. You know what I mean? Like I heard people on Jeff's show today calling in and saying, well, T should do. Who the hell are you to say what T should do and what T shouldn't do? And by the way, you don't know either. You don't know what T has said or not said.
Right.
None of us do. You know, Ja's a grown-ass man. Ja makes his own decisions. You make your own decisions. I make my own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Irrespective of what my dad or mom says or doesn't say. T has done a great job. We've had T on the show. We've had a long, long conversations with T. I think we all feel like he's done a good job. But at some point, right, your child makes their own decisions and has to be accountable for their own decisions. So the one thing that you're not going to hear me do today is criticize T. Morant and the family around Ja, because
this is a grown man making mistakes.
That's exactly right. And yeah, he's young. He's young. There's right, no doubt about
grown,
that.
Grown man making mistakes is the key there.
But yeah, he,
I've seen a lot of fathers say, well, I beat my son's ass. That's what I do. We're not talking about a 12, 13, or 14-year-old
who
lives in your son's home.
Yeah. But
first off, you don't know how T raised Ja, back to your point. But secondly, T's not going to grab up Ja. And you're talking about a grown man now that's making his own decisions. Once I was John in my 20s, once I was out on my own.
Les Smith calls you, says, hey, don't do this, man. F you, man.
I wasn't hearing it. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying? That was my thing, because why? I was out from under my dad.
That's
but back to the point. He could give it to me all day long. It was on me receive it.
It is.
He's raised me right. Did I still go out and make some dumb decisions?
Exactly right.
Absolutely I did.
Yep.
Even with the good rearing from Mr. Smith. And so at that point, it's like the bird's out of the nest. You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly.
T can, and I'm sure he has said, but you can't blame T for the mistakes of a grown man here.
Because to me, it's talking out of both sides of your mouth. We say he didn't come from this lifestyle he's trying to project. Well, isn't that a credit to T. Morant and his wife?
Absolutely, in terms of the way that he was brought up.
They have done and also like his uncles and everything like that. Like I'm not trying to act like I know them super personally, but I've been around them a bit. I know sort of like they're good people.
Yeah.
They're good people. And what I'm not going to do is sit up here and try to pretend like you, me, or anybody else should know how to handle a situation like this as fast and as quickly as it happened. You know, this is not like a family where dad played in the NBA. There was an NBA player that came before. You know, this is an unprecedented situation. It's like winning the lottery. You know what I mean? If I won the lottery and my dad called me and said, hey, son, I don't think you should, man, click, and I'm 31. I'm not finna sit here and listen. I got $350 million.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not finna listen to your advice.
Right.
So to me, this is all about Ja Morant.
Yeah, it ain't about T. That's what I agree with you 100%.
It's all about Ja Morant and the actions, right, and the decisions that he makes moving forward. And I think all of us are hoping and praying that this time away from the team will have some redeeming qualities, and that will, you know, that this will be a period of growth and learning and understanding, and that it's genuine, that it's coming from a sincere place, that like Ja feels like he needs the help, you know, because that's, to me, that's a key component, is believing that you need a little bit of help, because I think we all do. Hopefully he comes out of this and we don't ever have to have this conversation ever again.
Yeah, I don't think we're talking about a game or two here, though.
No, it's going to be – I mean, I don't know how long it can be.
Jenkins said no timetable, but this isn't a deal. I don't think we're
exactly
all of a sudden Grizzlies are back to looking like themselves early next week because John Morant's back and Steven Adams is back. And we told, I mean, that Brandon Clark news is devastating enough. So, in terms of where this team is going to be here the next few games,
I think we have to sort of bottom line. I mean, we're talking about somebody's life now, you know? I mean, this is a young man's life and a young man's direction. So it shouldn't be, all right, do a mandatory stint at X, Y, and Z, and in 3 days you come back. You know? Like, this is something that should be treated as gravely as the situation is. I mean, it is. And so I think, you know, speaking to that, it could and should be a bit before we see Ja Morant. And that's, like, way down the list, right? For, as you mentioned, for his family, for his daughter, and everything else is secondary.
Yeah.
So I'm praying and hoping that Ja does indeed, find the healing in this process. And then, again, we don't have to have this conversation again because that would be good for everybody. We'll come back. Jason Fitz is going to join us. We'll talk to him about this very thing, get his thoughts on the Grizzlies, Ja Morant, how it's been handled, and more. Stick around. Jason and Ja, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's Brad Carson here in studio with the guys. For our new sponsor, it's the Betley Sportsbook, BETLY, from the folks that brought you Southland. Comes the very first book legal in the state of Arkansas. Now they've brought the same exact technology to the state of Tennessee. Easy, simple, local, and the only current legal book that covers both the whole state of Arkansas and now here in Tennessee. So if you're listening to 92.9 right now here in the state of Tennessee, download the Betley Sportsbook. You get $250 risk-free for your first wager. That's the first reason to get in there and download the app. Second reason is one of the reasons that I use the Betley book exclusively, and I used it this weekend, actually, wagering on Memphis Tigers, Memphis Grizzlies, NBA. They've got college baseball on there. They're one of the few that puts very good lines on college baseball games here in the South, including the Southeastern Conference. But we're getting ready for conference season. This is the conference championship season. And in the promotions tab, they've got the odds boost for, like, the WCC powerhouse parlay, where you can get St. Mary's -6.5 and Gonzaga tonight -14.5. If they cover and cover those numbers, they boosted it from 275 to +305. So more money for your bets with the Betley Sportsbook. So many ways to have fun. That's why I use it. You must be 21 and older and located in the state of Arkansas or Tennessee to play using the Betley Sportsbook. Make sure you play responsibly. If you need help quitting, call 800-522-4700, the Betley Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Book.
It is that time of the week. It's time for the Fitz Hit. You know him, you love him, Jason Fitz from Fitz and Harry joins us every single Monday here on the show. And he joins us now. Fitz, we have a bit of a somber topic to start with, and it has been sort of the story in sports over the weekend. Ja Morant, after a video, I don't know where it was, but there was a gun involved and there were, you know, scantily clad women involved, has stepped away from the team for at least 2 games. What do you make of this, you know, and what's the right way to frame it when it comes to Ja, the team, the NBA, just, you know, as best you can, you know, how would you sum everything that's going on this weekend up?
You know, when I saw the video, genuinely, my first thought was, y'all, because there's a city, there's a franchise, there's sports radio hosts, there's people that have waited years for Memphis to get the platform that it has right now. And you think about how excited everybody, and I was with you guys not that long ago when you got the news that Memphis was going to be on Christmas Day, right? And you think about the NBA and what the NBA can do from a marketing standpoint to make sure that certain stars and certain organizations get seen. This is, to put it very simply, a crossroads for Ja, for the team, for the league. And I say this loudly. I know Memphis right now is looking around saying, hey, we can contend for a lot of things, and this is a good basketball team. I don't care. Like, right now, if you're Memphis, the only thing you're worried about is how do we get our superstar on track so that we don't waste years of his career and his life making bad decisions. And the hard part about this, like, I've been around plenty of people in my life in music that woke up one day with a level of fame and fortune that maybe they didn't expect and they didn't know how to handle it. Not everybody knows how to handle the platform that you get. And when you're worth the amount of money that some of the guys get to be worth, it's hard to keep any sense of reality. I've often made the joke, you know, when people in inner circles at one point joked years ago that Taylor Swift didn't have a lot of sense of reality. I'm like, well, somebody was bringing her water when she was 14 years old. Of course she doesn't, right? Like, reality is easy to lose when you have a ton of wealth, a ton of popularity, and a ton of platforms. So right now, it isn't about the two games he's stepping away. The question is, who can the organization get in his ear specifically that's going to help him see the opportunity he has and help him make better decisions? And that's easier said than done in this situation. Like, your inner circle can take your life to new heights. It can also take your life to new lows. I've lived both of those, so my heart breaks for everybody involved in this. But right now, bigger than basketball, because the NBA will throttle any attention that Memphis gives until this gets right. I believe that with all my heart. So this is a really difficult situation and a crossroads for the player and the organization.
Yeah, you know, we've said too, Fitzy, that, and you just touched on it, you know, who's best suited to give him that message, right? And you heard Jalen Rose had a message for him this weekend, said, you know, I was Ja Morant. I had to, and we've looked, you know, we've said too locally, Penny Hardaway is a guy who involved in some stuff early in his career, completely gets his feet out of it, you know, and you realize, you know, what he ended up being worth with his shoe line and everything else. But it, even in saying all that, and maybe there is this right person to get through him, isn't it up to you as a 23-year-old to listen, right? Because that feels like so much a part of this is if Ja's listening to it. I mean, how hard is it to listen when you've been given as much as he has in terms of power, in terms of money at 23 years old?
Yeah, you can't force anybody to impact change in their own life. They just have to be ready to do it. And, you know, I've made this comment several times as a Raiders fan. You know, a lot of Raiders fans have plenty to say about Jamarcus Russell and what he did with his life. And my joke has always been, with a little bit of seriousness, well, if you'd have handed me $32 million fully guaranteed at 21 years old, I wouldn't have made good decisions. I'm the first to admit, you know, I'm not going to throw stones here. If you'd given me Ja Morant's wealth and platform at his age, I would have blown it too. But you can't, at the end of the day, all you can do is try to get people to see it, listen to it, hear it. You got to figure out who he really respects and who really has his ear. But you're right, personal ownership. The first year that I was ever on the road in music, I remember I drank way too much the first year I was on the road. I've always been open about this. And the crazy thing is that I got to December, and I realized that because I was drinking too much, I just wasn't playing very well. And there's this moment where you realize that like, I had a personal responsibility to put on the same show in December that I do in February. People are paying the same money for the ticket. But I had to come to that realization. Nobody sat down with me and said, hey, you know, you need to drink less and work out more. Like, I had to figure that stuff out for myself. He's going to have to figure that stuff out for himself. And this is hard, too, because his dad's been such a huge part of his life for so long. Does his dad still have his ear to stop the behaviors that we're seeing right now? None of us but John know that. So they've got to figure out who he respects. Like, who's sitting down with Ja would be like, yeah, man, I cannot believe I'm sitting down with this guy, and then listen to that guy. Because I think it takes that version of a mentor.
Look, there's no way to project or predict any of this. You know, like, you can't do that in a draft process. But I'm not blaming the Grizzlies here either. But how different would this or could this be, you know, if there were a veteran in the locker room? You know, that's one of the things about the Grizzlies. They've always been, since Ja got into the league, one of the youngest, if not the youngest team in the NBA. And it sort of has felt like you know, he's never really had that mainstay veteran. Jay Crowder was here for that first year, and it really felt like it had a positive impact on him. But how much do you think the Grizzlies being as young as they are has perhaps contributed to this?
It's huge. And, you know, it's a decision that organizationally they needed to get ahead of a long time ago. Like, one of the things that I think fans roll their eyes at is you hear the phrase, like, somebody's being overpaid because they need a locker room presence. That's huge. And the number of guys I've talked to that played professionally in big leagues, whether it's Major League Baseball, NBA, or NFL, they've all talked about how there are certain guys that come into the locker room that immediately grab the attention of everybody and teach you how to be pros, you know, and you've got to have that person. Look back to even in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes talks all the time about how part of the reason he's Patrick Mahomes today is because he had Alex Smith to show him how to prepare, when to eat, what to eat, how to break down film, how to structure his week as a professional. Like, those are all things that we don't even think about, that not every club handles the right way. And you got to know when you have a young team, even if you have to overpay, even if you're bringing in somebody that isn't contributing the way you need them to on the court, sometimes you need somebody that's contributing in attitude, contributing in professionalism. Like, sometimes you need that guy that's going to look around and say, hey, that's not the way you do business if you want to win championships. And that's why some guys that have a bunch of rings are going to always be paid, because they understand culturally what it takes. I think Memphis was behind the eight ball, not taking care of that as an organization. And now you got to ask yourself, is too much toothpaste out of the tube? Like, can somebody come in and really assert that level of dominance in a team and market that we know is run by Ja? Like, that's much more difficult. So I think Memphis mishandled that from the outset in this roster construction.
Right now, at least personally, it feels like, you know, mistakes that he can overcome, just in terms of, you know, like Jalen said, you've got so much to lose. It doesn't feel like he's technically lost anything yet. That said, if you are Nike, Fitzy, or if you are Powerade, you know, obviously Nike stepped forward, said, we support him. We appreciate his accountability. You know, support his prioritization of his well-being. But what's the line for you, Fitzy? Like, how many more of these, if you were those companies, can you see before you say, you know what, this is a road going nowhere for us?
Yeah, well, and that's where it comes down to use the TV phrase, Q rating, right? So what Nike and places like that are going to do is they're going to start to do surveys of their buying audience to see how their buying audience associates Ja Morant. So, like, I don't know that necessarily it's, hey, one more incident or two more incidents, as much as it's how are you carrying yourself in everything you do? Because what they'll start to do is brand association. And so they'll do these tests. And if people ask random questions about Ja Morant, associate him as, to use a very this is a triggering word for a lot of people, but I'm going to use a 90s word used around the NBA, so I apologize for it. But a lot of people used to say thug all the time. Mm-hmm. And what you saw is thug mentality got athletes dropped in the early 2000s around the NBA because the NBA wanted to clean up their image. And I know that's a triggering thing to say for a lot of people, but what's going to happen is they're going to do, you know, Q ratings on the buying audience in Nike and say, when I say Ja Morant, you say, and if the answer starts to come in as anything less than clean cut salesman, then they're going to drop it, right? And so this just becomes part of what you have to do. It's better to be invisible than it is to make people see you in a light that you can't get around as a marketing guru.
Yeah, and I'm sure that is part of the calculation going on right now. We're talking to Jason Fitz. Catch him on Fitz and Harry right here on ESPN Radio. All right, we got the news this morning, man. Derek Carr signing with the Saints. He didn't want to do the Raiders a solid. Didn't want to accept the, you know, the trade destination, but he is ultimately winding up with New Orleans. What do you make of that fit? How much better are the Saints today with DC at QB?
So here's what's interesting. The fit makes a lot of sense because Dennis Allen was the coach of the Raiders when the Raiders drafted Derek Carr. He knows Derek Carr incredibly well, and the two know each other and they're comfortable with each other. It's indoors, which I'm sure Derek Carr likes a lot. And, you know, obviously there are weapons on that team. It's an okay team. I think they were 7-10 last year. They're not great. They're not terrible. Does he make them a Super Bowl contender? No. Is it the weakest division in the NFL? Yes. Does he make them capable of winning that division? I think so. So I think he's got a road to the playoffs. But, you know, Alvin Kamara is going to have to answer a lot of questions about the video footage of him at the Pro Bowl from last year in Vegas. There's still, charges awaiting on that. So Will Kamara be available for him the whole year? What's that going to look like? I think, and New Orleans is also $20 million over the cap before they signed Derek Carr. So they're going to have to make a bunch of roster adjustments. How good will they be? I think they're a pretty good football team. Am I surprised he didn't wait out to see what happens with the Jets? A little bit. I think that would have given him a better chance to win a bunch of football games. But that being said, I mean, he goes somewhere where he's in the NFC. It'll be a total new challenge for him. He can win a bunch of football games, and I think he has a chance to be a playoff quarterback. I just don't think he makes them a Super Bowl team.
Is there a play for Tampa or quarterback to go get that keeps you above them? You're right, it's a terrible division, but in terms of Tampa trying to stay ahead of a Saints team with Carr, what do you do there at QB?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to do. And frankly, this comes down to the really uncomfortable thing for a lot of people to hear. I think there's going to be a bidding war on Jimmy G. And I mean, right now, depending on what Aaron Rodgers does, your only option is going to be Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, that's why I think it was Daniel Jeremiah over the weekend that said rumblings were that he was going to be a $35 million contract next year. So that comes because there are just so many teams that need somebody back there. And Jimmy G is better than Zach Wilson. So I'm really going to be interested to see what happens with that contract situation, because I don't think there's an easy answer. And by the way, the Bucs are in full cap purgatory. I wouldn't be surprised to see Tampa Bay just decide they're going to gut everything. They're going to stink, and they'll try next year in a draft that has Caleb Williams and Drake May, two guys that are franchise quarterbacks today. We'll see how they play out over the course of the next year. But I wouldn't be surprised to see some teams just realize they don't have a shot at a quarterback and tank.
All right, so Bryce Young measured in 5'6", 145 pounds. Does that scare you at all? Or I mean, do you think – I mean, look, for me – I mean, I see the guy's ability. I see his ability to improvise, his arm talent. You know, I'm not an NFL GM, and I think the hardest thing – I was telling Jason this last week, like, I think the most useless thing in all of sports media today is when anybody tries to pretend like they know whether a quarterback is going to be good or not at the next level. Like, we simply just do not know. With that said, I'm going to ask you, Bryce Young, first pick, you doing it, yes or no?
Yeah, without hesitation, I'm picking Bryce Young first. I think C.J. Stroud, like – here's the thing with Bryce. It's a really easy evaluation. Either you're comfortable with the size or you're not. So if the size is really your thing and you want to knock him off the board, that's fine. That's up to you. But for me personally, he took hits from SEC defenses. He got absolutely clobbered by that same Georgia defense that's put 732 people in the NFL in the last year. So, you know, he's proven he can take these hits. I don't have any questions. And in fact, what's really interesting is I think all four quarterbacks did a good job of raising their platform this weekend. Like, C.J. Stroud answered the questions on his athleticism with a level of leadership that I was stunned by in the way he handled it. I thought it was brilliant. Bryce Young went in and measured in heavier than anyone thought he would, which is good for his, you know, yeah, but Anthony Richardson was an absolute beast as always. And Will Levis went in and did exactly what he said he was going to do. I mean, if it weren't for Anthony Richardson's athleticism, we'd be fawning over Will Levis. So I think all four quarterbacks really made a case for themselves. And I still believe we're going to see history, even though I think there's fatal flaws to some of these quarterbacks. I think quarterbacks have a very good chance of going 1, 2, 3, and 4 in this year's draft. You want one, you're going to have to move up to get one because there's too many teams that need a quarterback.
Yeah, well, Anthony Richardson, as you mentioned, the dude ran a 4.4. That's even faster than my partner here. We clocked him at a 4.6 unofficially, which was very impressive for his age.
Thank you.
That is.
Yeah, man, he's still keeping it together, man. He's not quite like you with the Orange Theory. I mean, you're burning like 900 calories a workout. It's ridiculous.
It's amazing.
I mean, this guy's a beast. But Anthony Richardson feels like a Raiders pick, doesn't it? I'm bracing myself. I know it's going to happen. This is what we do. Convince me he's not about to be a Raider.
I don't think Anthony Richardson is going to make it to 7. Honestly, and this is why, you know, if Lamar Jackson, if the Ravens are stupid enough to non-exclusive franchise Lamar Jackson,
yep.
I would go get Lamar right now, because the funny thing is, the reports were that the Bears want 3 first rounders, a second rounder, and a third rounder to move up to 1. So it's going to cost you more to move up in the draft than it will to sign Lamar Jackson, right? To trade for Lamar Jackson. So, you know, I think it's going to end up costing 3 first rounders for anybody that wants to move up into the top 4. And by the time you get into that level, it's too rich for the blood of a team that's just got too many holes. I think the Raiders have, you know, quietly said, not even quietly, I think Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels have made it very clear that they think that the roster needs an overhaul and that they're going to do that with patience. They don't really care about what everybody else wants. They want to do it patiently. And also, I don't think that's the wrong approach. I mean, I think you get the best player you possibly can without leveraging everything else you need in the draft, because the Raiders have too many holes to give up three first-rounders for a quarterback that may or may not pan out.
That was this week's edition of Fitz Hits. Join us every single Monday. Catch him on Fitz and Harry, XFL Today, SportsCenter on Snapchat. The man puts in the work. He puts in the hours. Thanks,
Thank
brother.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you, boys. Have a great week.
Yep, Fitz. He is Jason Fitz. Join us every single Monday here on the show. I mean, Richardson's combine performance was ridiculous. It was freakish. I mean,
yeah, he's an athlete. We knew that about him.
Yeah, exactly, though. Exactly. But now people are, you know, intoxicated by the speed and the size, which is what he always had at Florida. You know, it's about that, you know, throwing towards the sidelines ability, right? To me, that scares me. But I wouldn't be surprised if it does go 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, it is the most important position in football. So if you feel like there's a franchise guy potentially, you should go get him.
Come see us. Come see the Bears.
All you have to do is give us a first, a second, a third, two firsts, three firsts.
Oh, the
firsts,
hall will be great.
Your unborn grandchildren.
Whoever
what
you,
else?
Come get your guy.
For a 165-pounder? That's a lot, man. It's a lot. You guys are asking. You guys are greedy. And Poles is like, he is defiant about it. He's like, I'm trading this pick. Basically, he's like, because I know I'll get a 1 in 24, and I might get a 1 in 25.
Highest bidder, baby. I like what he's doing.
Yeah, should be interesting. Vicky Finch is going to join us at 1:25. We need some positivity. And at halftime of the game yesterday, as we mentioned, I was there. They did honor the 72-73 team, and it was really touching. It was really emotional, and of course, Vicky and the Finch family was there. So we're going to talk to her about that and just being around the families and former managers and coaches, just getting a sense of what that day felt like. Always good to catch up with Vicky, so she'll join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.